Blog Talk Radio.
Grandma's hands clapped in church on Sunday morning. Grandma's hands played a tambourine so well. Grandma's hands used to issue out a warning. She'd say, Billy, don't you run so fast. Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma's hands. Unwed mother, Grandma's hand used to ache sometimes and swell. Grandma's hand used to lift her face and tell her, she'd say, baby, Grandma, understand that you really love that man. Put yourself in Jesus' hands, Grandma's hand. Candy, Grandma's hand picked me up each time I fell. Grandma's hand, boy, they really came in a handy. She'd say, Matty, don't you whip that boy. What you wanna spank him for? He didn't drop no apple core, but I don't have Grandma anymore. If I get to heaven, I'll look for Grandma's hand.
Good evening, everybody. That's Bill Withers and Grandma's Hand. This is Gail Delicious Johnson, and you're on Delicious Talk. My co-host Rhea will be here shortly. She's at a function right now. I'd like to welcome everybody for this segment. The weather's been here, that's been going on here, has been pretty mellow compared to what's going on in the different states, Missouri and the other places where they're having those terrible tornadoes. And my prayers and, it just touched my heart to know that, these things are happening to people. And I'm hoping for the survivors that survived it, you know, get better. And the ones who lost their lives, I'm keeping them in my prayers. Okay, tonight's show is about children who are abusers. Generally, there are shows about children being abused, but tonight's show is about children who are abusers themselves, mainly younger kids and up in teenage kids as well. And what would you do if your five-year-old kicked, punched, or spit on you? And how would you feel if they cursed at you, hollered at you, told you they hated you and wanted you dead? What if they disrupt the whole house? It was a threat to even the pet. How would you handle this child? Some parents blame themselves, but what would you do? For questions and comments, you can create an account and log into the chat room and chat, or call in at 1-646-652-2877. Now, the reason why I'm doing this show is because I guess a lot of you out there know that I'm a television buff. I was watching a Dr. Phil show, and these parents were on there actually afraid, crying, begging for help because their little 5- and 8-year-old children was terrorizing the home and causing the family, a rift in the family. Now, I have 2 children of my own. They're grown now. I have grandchildren as well. But I can't even imagine, and the thought never crossed my mind, to even think that my children would be so disruptive to me. To, if they even looked like they were going to, you know, get out of line with me, trust and believe it would be the last time. And I think a lot of these children become abusers because the parents don't get things in time. For instance, they may see something that the child is doing and they think it's cute or they think it's funny. And naturally, a child is going to feel that way as well, because if you're laughing at something a child's doing, he's going to think that it's right. He's going to think he's funny. If he curses and you're laughing at it, he's going to think that's the right thing to do. I had a friend whose grandson, he was maybe about three years old. This little boy cursed worse than any sailor that I have ever heard curse in my life, and she actually thought that it was cute. Now he's a little older, and he's been put out of basically all the schools he's ever been in for cursing and fighting the teachers, and it's nothing that can be done about it because it wasn't nipped in the bud. And another thing these parents, they do, they put their children on Ritalin and all these medications to calm them down. In reality, what those medications do is to stir up different things in their chemistry and make them do other crazy things as well. Because if they're going through emotional traumas and all of a sudden they're feeling suicidal from that medication, what do you think they're going to do then? You know, I would really hate to, you know, for a parent to wake up and a child standing over them with a knife or a gun. And children have actually killed their parents, some for different reasons and some for reasons of being on medications. And really all you need to do is to change a child's diet, you know, give them the proper nourishment, all the sugar that they're eating and all these foods with these chemicals in it. It's not good for children as well. I have a caller with their hand up. I'm going to bring them in. Caller, are you there?
I'm here. What's good?
Nothing much. Is this Lisa?
Yes, it is.
How are you, darling?
Good, baby. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Did you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I have a lot of comment on this. First of all, kids are a product of their environment, and they victims,
that's
too.
Mm-hmm.
They victims, too. They see what's going on at home. If mom and dad would spend more time at home educating instead of being out in the streets doing crack and coke and heroin and all that, these kids would be okay. But like you said, they'd rather medicate them. I had my cousin call me the other day talking about that they want to put my niece on Ritalin. I said, for what? Oh, was she too hyper in school? No. You ain't putting my baby niece on Ritalin. You are not doing it. You're not playing with me. You're not doing it. And my cousin was like, well, Lisa, what do you suggest? Well, guess what? Get her out of that school and put her in another one. Even if
right.
I got to pay for it. Even if I got to pay for that baby to get out that school. And the problem is, and I hate to say it, it's the urban communities that do this. The other ones don't. The suburban don't. They don't put kids on medication every time that they think there's a problem with the child. They send them to guidance offices and put them in counseling.
Right.
So why do our babies got to be out there? And, I mean, I'll never forget when the school called me about my daughter, Maya. She's 11 years old. This was when she was 7. And they called me because she went to her teacher and said, can I get some harder work because this is boring to me. So the teacher thought that was annoying and gave her detention.
Wow.
I went to the principal's office, and we just had this conversation. Me and my sister just had this conversation tonight. But I was like, what do you mean you put my daughter into detention? For what? Well, she annoyed the class. How did she annoy the class? Well, we had study hall, and she's going to come on. She's 5, first of all. And she asking you for harder work. This child is now, at 11 years old, reading on a college degree. She's like the encyclopedia and the dictionary. I can call her Maya. What this word mean? Oh, mom, this, that, and the third. Okay, thanks. But
wow.
She was wrong to ask for harder work. But they want to give her Ritalin, too.
Hmm.
It don't make no sense.
Right, and then, you know, like you said, society and their environment and their upbringing has a lot to do with children when they act out, because like you said, when they're seeing different things going on in the home, as far as like they may see their parents using drugs or them fighting or, you know, something like that going on. And this influences children too. They may not strike out at home at that particular time, but trust and believe, they're striking out somewhere, maybe at school or, you know, with the other siblings. You know, you have to be very careful at things you say and do around children, because when I was coming up, it was like, you know, children should be seen and not heard. When adults came into our house, we went to another room. We either went into our bedrooms, but we were not sitting around while our parents were talking with other adults. Nowadays, children are sitting around listening to what their parents are saying. Some of them even are partying with their parents, getting high with their parents, you know, and my children, they have always been my children to me.
Indeed, no lie. What is with y'all watching your kids bust a damn, break a move at 6, 7 years old, videoing that and putting it up on Facebook? Do they not realize they candidates for profiles for pedophiles?
Right, that's another thing. These little things that they have these children doing. It was, I saw a little clip of a girl, and her daughter wasn't, I don't believe this little girl was even 2 years old. She had her dressed up in a little, I guess it was a little skirt or whatever, and a top that looked like a bikini top, and was holding her up to a stripper pole. Now, you know, things that children do are definitely cute, but that is not cute. And these kids who know how to shake their little booties all over the place and doing all these little provocative dances, you know, what's going through my mind is, do they know how to count from 1 to 10? Do they know their ABCs? Do they know their colors, you know? And it's, you know, those are the most important things that children should be learning. You know, it's okay that they can dance, but don't be putting them out there to do all those little provocative dances like the, what's this dance everybody was doing? But I was at a cookout, and this little girl, she was maybe about 4 or 5. She was keeping up with the adults, and this is no lie. And everybody was looking at this little girl, and you know what be going through men's mind, you know.
Exactly,
you don't know whether it's a pedophile or whatever's out there, what's going on. But, you know, you need to get a hold of these children and teach them the right things to do in society so they can grow up and be productive citizens instead of growing up being drug dealers or strippers or you know, the worst things that can be produced in society.
We teach our kids the electric, the cha-cha, like that stuff. That's what we do on the grown side. We teach them, okay, you all can dance to this. But when they start making those moves and you see them out there and the parents think that is so cute. No, it's really not. It's really not cute.
No, it's not. My co-host is here, Rhea.
Rhea.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Hey,
I'm
Rhea.
I'm fine. Hello, hi, Lisa.
I'm good.
Thanks for coming in. We were just speaking about, you know, the children, how they're being misguided and not being brought up to be productive citizens. And, we're getting to the point of when children become abusers to their parents. And a lot of parents feel that they can't understand why their little girl or their little boy is cursing at them or, you know, hitting them and spitting on them and kicking them and things like that. But that's because these are things that they may see that had happened in the family. If a child sees mommy hitting daddy or daddy hitting mommy, they're going to actually think that that's the right thing to do too, because, well, daddy did it, you know. And then some kids actually suffer from mental disabilities that will cause them to strike out like that. But children who live in violent households or children who are on medications and children who are just impressed by their peers, you know, that is what causes them to strike out. And like I had said in the beginning, I've never, ever even had the thought that my children would, you know, do something like that to me coming up. Because if they did, I don't think I'd be having this show right now.
We'd be locked up for life.
Mm-hmm. And then that's
murder.
Another thing. These kids, they got it so now that the kids can call the police on their parents when the parents is disciplining them. Now, I can understand abuse, you know, like if the parent is basically almost killing this child, you know, and not feeding them and neglecting them and things like that. I can understand that. But you're going to call the police on me because I said you can't go out, you're grounded? No, that is not going to happen.
And lie on your ass, too. They will lie. The kids learn to lie at school and from their friends.
Yeah.
They learn how to lie. Oh, well, just call the police and tell them that, you know, that your mother beat you and this, that, and third. Punch yourself in the face. I'm sitting there like, oh, no.
Yeah, you
when
have,
I heard
you
all
have
that,
children. You have children that get together and will cook up a scheme or, you know, teach another person how to do something wrong. Just like these teenagers, this girl, she got mad because her mother didn't want her to be with this young man because he was a little older than she was, and he didn't have any job, didn't work anywhere. You know, he wasn't doing anything, and the mother did not want to see her daughter with him. They end up killing the mother so she could be with this guy. You know, and that's very sad. Because after all that, the guy put everything on her. He killed the mother, but he blamed, you know, told that the girl had told him to, you know, kill the mother. It was all her doings. But, you know, it's just a shame how it really has to come down to that. You know, children abusing their parents, abusing their siblings, and just causes so much disruption in the household until people, families are actually breaking up. Husbands are leaving their wives, and you know it's really sad. You know, and I think if you nip these things in the bud, if your child is cursing, you need to wash their mouth out with soap.
I did.
Look,
man, still talk about that.
Yes, exactly.
And then he told me he wouldn't use Dial soap from,
you know what,
certain X number of times because I was stuffing it in his mouth. Yeah, I did. I sure did wash his mouth off with soap.
Yeah, that's how
but
you
back in
do
the
it.
Day, back in the day, we could do that. We could do that. Look, I was in a store one day. I was in Passmark in Newark. And this woman had some damn fruity tooty, like, oh my God, I won't even go into it. But she looked a hot mess, and she in there shopping. And you already know she had the food stamps and was limited. And I will never forget, this child was throwing a fit because he wanted a $5 box of cereal. $5 box of cereal. And I looked at her, I said, you slap him before I do. She looked at me, she said, what? I said, because I'm about to beat his ass for doing that to you in the middle of the store. I mean, screaming, carrying on like she was killing him. All because she said no. And I said, you slap him, I will. She said, go ahead. I said, I ain't going to jail, but guess what? I'll get one of my family to do it. I'll get one of my little niece to do it that's 12. And she just looked at me, and she picked him up by the collar of his shirt, and she dragged him out the store. She didn't even get no food that day. And I ran out the parking lot. I said, here's $5. Go get the boy some cereal that he wants. But best believe, don't let me see you spending on crack in the middle of the block next week.
But you know what? That should have been nipped in the bud, because I remember one time, and this happened one time, I had me and my daughter was downtown. I think she was maybe about 3. And we was in a store, and she wanted something. So she got to screaming and hollering. You know what? I took her in the bathroom. I wore her out, because I generally would say, you wait till you get home. But I wore her out from that day on. We went downtown or wherever we went. She did not act up again.
I know that's right.
Now was coming up, and now was that little. I talked to them before they left the house, and I told mm-hmm. them certain things that they weren't going to do. Now, you can try that on me. We ain't going to make it to the damn bathroom. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to, right there where you stand at, I'm going to wear it out. Now, I'm only going to pop you once or twice, but I'm going to pop mm-hmm. you. And it's the end of it. I never had to deal with that. Now, my mom did, because my oldest clowned out twice on my mom. And the first time she, talked to him. The second time my mother was clowning right along with him. He never did it on her again. But mm-hmm. I mean, you do that from when they're young. That's when their training come in, because once they hit that 5, 6, 7, 8 age, they already got that stuff
yep.
their mindset, and you really
yep.
can't reverse that if they have a certain set in their mind. You can't reverse that. I don't
that's
care what
it.
You do. A man said years ago, a man said to his girlfriend who related to me, he said, you can look at a girl of 6 years old and see the type of woman she's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, just watch it. You see the mannerisms, you see everything else like that. That's why some people don't understand the seriousness that I've took of polishing nails and stuff like that. If you're going to do it, do clear. But you don't put colors and stuff on them, because it brings out certain actions. It brings out certain things. You got people going around here putting weeds in these babies' heads, and then walking
yeah.
out here throwing their hair, and then putting on lip gloss and these
and those skinny
nails.
Jeans.
Are you crazy?
Mm-hmm.
They
no.
better act like
no,
they
no.
know. Rhea, on some strength, my daughter, she's 11, the little one. You already know about the 24-year-old blonde one. But the 11-year-old, she actually told, she had enough nerve to tell her grandmother no.
Mm.
Told her grandmother no. Her grandmother called me. She said, your child said no. I said, she said no about what? She didn't want to do her homework because she was bored with it. Okay, I got her. So I called her sister. I said, we about to make a trip to Jacksonville. She said, oh, Mommy, what did Maya do? I said, don't worry about it. Come get me. She said, okay. She came and got me. We drove the 5 hours down there, and the baby didn't, none of them knew I was coming. None of them. I walked in that door, and I snatched her right around the neck in front of her grandparents. And I said, you said no to Grandma? She said, but, Mom, no. I said, you saying no now? And I'm steady grabbing her throat. I said, first of all, I'm going to tell you something. Your best friend will always be your grandmother. Second of all, you don't disrespect nobody. And third of all, you don't never tell your grandparents no. And sent her to her room. She didn't come out that room until I left.
Wow.
Till I left.
Know.
'Cause that just upset me so much, because kids this day and age, first of all, my grandmother was my best friend. My oldest daughter, her grandmother was her best friend. So now Maya's grandmother, and we keep it in the family, Maya's grandmother, is her best friend. I wouldn't even have thought about saying no to my grandmother or acting a fool. My grandma, she would have whooped me next to put me back in Sicily. No joke.
Yeah. Well, I know of a young lady that has a son, and I think he's 6 or 7, but he has been a terror since he knew how to walk. And he fights her, he fights his grandmother, he calls her bees, and it's crazy. It's really crazy. And I said to her, she actually says that he's going to be the cause of her death. No. Mm-mm. Ain't no 6-year-old gonna cause
that.
Me to die. Mm-mm. That's true. That is true, because every time somebody would try to correct him, she would always like, no, leave him alone, don't hit him, and running off with him so his grandmother couldn't discipline him. So you know what? I said this. That little boy, before it's all over with, when he gets, a little older, he's gonna start putting his foot in her butt. Because it's already happening now. He fights her. He fights any adult. Any adult. But trust and believe, the first time he tried to fight me, it would be the last time.
I know my sister has a girlfriend who had a 3-year-old, and that's how he acted. I mean, he would just throw fits. And this one particular day, we were sitting down in the kitchen, and he thought he was getting ready he's forever asking for things and then not eating them. He was extremely wasteful. And so he thought he was getting ready to do that. And I looked at him, and I told him, I said, understand clearly, I eat kids. He looked at me. He said, what? The ass got big and salty. I said, I devour kids. I eat kids. And so he was scared of me. And I didn't realize, I feel kind of bad now because he's 6 now. And he saw me back in March. And I spent the day at his house. And, you know, we played and we talked and everything else. And when I left and went home, my sister called me cracking up. She said, "Real, you told DeAndre you eat kids." Because DeAndre told my sister, she said, "You know, your sister, she eat kids." I just thought that. I felt so bad. I was like, oh, Lord. But he never did that stuff with me. And, I mean, the degree that this child would clown was, it was beyond disgusting. And I'm like, I wish he would act like that. Like, you know what? No, you ain't never got to worry about me babysitting him. You ain't never got to worry about leaving him with me because, see, I would break him from that. He had one time. And when my sister used to go upstairs, when she used to go upstairs and he stayed downstairs with me, they would crack up when they come downstairs and he's sitting on the lounge, just looking at me and not moving. I'm like, he chose to sit there. I just told him he's not going to run in and out of here, or he's not going to do this, that, and the other. And they started laughing, but I did not realize that child remembered that. And part of the reason I told him that was because it stopped him dead in his tracks. But that comes from the way we bring them up. Just like when you talk about the way some of these kids dress and stuff like that. These parents are the ones buying these clothes. So don't tell me you can't control how your child dresses. Excuse me?
If your child takes a 32 waist, please don't buy him a 38. You know better.
Exactly.
You know better.
You're the one who provides the money and the clothes for them. So don't tell me they have to dress like this. No.
And then, you know, you're letting your little girl wear tracks in her hair, getting her hair permed and bleached and dyed. And she's only 12 years old. Excuse me, no.
I never did ever talk to about my daughter because she still wore ponytails. And I'm like, leave her alone. Not wear a ponytail until she's sick of wearing her ponytail. And I think she didn't start getting her hair done until she was, matter of fact, she was 17. Because she wore a ponytail most of the time. And I'm like, let them be children.
I was wearing 3+ when I went to junior high school. You know, and skirts almost skirts past our knees, down past our knees, and bobby socks. Now the kids are wearing any and everything, booty shorts. Oh my God, it's just like the day when I was out. I saw these 3 girls walking up the street, and I know they weren't even 15 years old, but their bodies were like grown women, and they had on these booty shorts and had all these tracks in their hair, and you know it's just like you said, it's the parents' fault because they buy them these things. When my kids was coming up, they will tell you, I never bought them name brand stuff, never. We shopped at McBride's, Morton's, and stores like that. When they got older and you know got jobs and started paying their way, that's when they bought their own designer stuff.
Exactly.
But Rhea, at the same time, you got to think of it like this. Like you said, it's the parents that are buying them, but it's not always. Because how about the kids are switching clothes between each other?
That's fine.
Thirteen-year-old kids down here in Atlanta. Okay, 13-year-old kids pregnant, 17 years old walking around like hoes. With the booty skirt, like you said, the booty shorts and everything. I'd be like, where'd you get them from? Oh, my friend had them. And they wear them.
That's true. But see, this is the thing.
But she got 4 kids.
Kids
now.
But this is where crazy comes in at. My kids never knew where they were going to turn around and see me. I popped up on them. I would pop up. I would look in classrooms. I would take my lunch and take the bus straight down to their school and peek in classrooms and everything else. I never forget the time that my child was in his classroom clowning, and I just happened to be peeking in the door. I opened the door. I looked at the teacher. I said, I need to see him. I took him outside, took him away off the sidewalk in front of the school in the street, and I wore that butt out, took him back to his classroom. He never did that again. And when he was getting ready to clown, his teacher knew when he was getting ready to clown, because you know what he would do? He would look at the door before he would do something. And that was her signal that that's what he was getting ready to do. So I used to pop up on mine. I would send mine out the house going to school. I would have a robe on. My clothes were under my robe. I would go out the other way around, go two blocks up, get on the bus, and get down low with a newspaper or whatever and watch them as they got on the bus to see how they went to school.
I know that's right.
That's what crazy. They don't need to know that. And if I ever walked up on mine and they had on something that didn't belong to them, they need to tell me why, and it better have been an emergency. Otherwise, we have some issues, and they knew that. Mm-hmm. But these are the kind of things that too many parents nowadays are trying to be friends with their children.
Oh, right. Please,
and
don't get me started on that one. Don't
because
get me started on that one.
Because they think that if they be nice to them, if they be this, if they be that, then the child will behave and this, that, and the other. No, you have to teach them and train them just like you were taught and you were trained. And you know what? Some of them are just not doing it, and that number is going up higher and higher and higher, that they're not doing it. And then they sit back and complain about, I can't control them, I can't do this, I can't do that. Okay, you would not be in my house. Just like I've told somebody in the legal profession before, when the police was called on me for whipping my boys for stealing, and I tell them again, if I'm going to raise them, I'm going to raise them. Otherwise, take them. If you're going to raise them in my house, then you take care of them. And they told me I couldn't do that, that they would arrest me. And then I said, whatever. If I'm going to raise them, I'm going to raise them. It can't be two of us because there can only be one head. And they need to know who that head is. And when she speaks, you listen. And there's no choice in the matter. And they a lot of children nowadays just don't get that. And it's really unfortunate. You even get the ones that could be the best children in the world, and they get so much flack other places that they end up reaching out and doing things that they wouldn't have done had they gotten a little extra attention. But they're the good ones, so they don't get the attention.
At the same time, you have to think of it like this, because, like you said, Rhea, you'll pop up. Well, my brother Haas, he got a call about my niece Amaya. He kept getting calls and calls and calls. And, you know, he working, he has full custody of two girls, and he didn't know what to do. So he called me, he's like, Lisa, I need something, sis. I said, what's wrong? So he told me, I said, really? Okay. I went to the school and snatched her out by her hair, whooped her butt in the hallway, and sent her back into the classroom. Bet she don't act up again. Bet she don't act up again. But back in the day, we could do that. We can't do that now. We can't
but
do
you
that
know
now.
What? If I had to do what I had to do back in the day today, I still would do it. Because number one, my children, those thoughts never even passed. I wish my kids would have picked up the phone and called the police on me. You know what? Because when the police came, they would have been taking them out of there. Nobody is
With their little bit of clothes and Flex Force bags. You can take this, that, and the third, and that's it.
Because they're going to tell me how to raise my kids, then it's obviously they're going to be living with them. Because, number one, they're not feeding them, clothing them, you know, looking out for them. They're just coming on a call because my kids said that I had spanked them or I punished them. You know, they can't do this, they can't do that. So you're going to call the police on me and I feed you every day? Make sure you have a roof over your head, buy you clothes, and take care of you. And you're going to call the police on me? Oh, no.
Exactly. You better dial 911 for murder. I'm going for a lifetime.
I wouldn't want to be a parent today because of the many fights that you have to have going all the way around. But There's a way to do everything. After a certain point, I had my children in sports, and I didn't have issues pretty much at all with my daughter, but my sons ran me ragged. But I had them in sports, and basically they were in multiple sports in multiple locations. Well, the bottom line, if you don't go to practice, you can't play in the game. So that was what I held over their head. And my daughter is 23 years old, and to this day she still tells people, my mother punished me by taking my books. Who stops their child from reading? Who takes their child books?
I said, I took her encyclopedias.
Like? I told her, I said, is that what 24. You like? And she said, yes. And then, wait a minute. I said, then what was I supposed to punish you with? What you liked. And she just looked at me. She said, yeah, and I'm going to do the same thing now.
For real.
You said what they like, and that's what you punish them with.
My 24-year-old was the encyclopedia. Yep,
exactly.
Was the encyclopedia queen. Like, we went on vacation to Florida, and I got her bag, and I'm lifting it up to put it in the car to go to the airport. I'm like, what's in here? She said, my encyclopedias. Her sister is the same way at 11 years old. And I was just like, damn, that's what I got to punish them with? Take away encyclopedias? How cute is that? And dictionaries.
Whatever they like, that's how you, that's what you do. And that's what you manipulate, and that's what, you know, you provide and you do what you're supposed to do. But see, they need to know. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, then you don't get to do what you like to do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do what I tell you to do. And
okay,
taking away
now,
TV for my daughter didn't mean nothing. Taking away this for my daughter didn't mean nothing. Taking away that. I took away her books. That girl cried so hard and so long and was shocked. Who stopped their child from reading? But I bet you I never had to take those books again.
You ain't never lied, but here's the thing. Now, that's 20 years. 20 years ago, I had to do that, and basically 11 years ago. But now, what do you take from them? They got so much stuff we didn't have. Those kids didn't have
the
cell phone, the games, all that stuff.
Close down the accounts on the internet, those
Xbox, the computer,
stuff like that.
Exactly.
All that stuff would be gone. All
and
of
guess
it would
what?
Be gone.
My kids still wouldn't care. My kids still wouldn't care because guess what? They wasn't raised with it. They got it as they deserved it. But like my daughter, her phone been off for a month with no minutes on it. She knows better than to ask me for money for her minutes because I'll pay her rent first. But at the same time, I'm thinking like we didn't have this. I remember back in the day when we had cable.
Hello.
All this. Hello.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay.
Oh.
Can we hear each other?
Yeah.
No,
okay.
I was going in the door, that's why. I'm sorry.
Oh. Back in the day when, okay, now all three of us is basically the same age. Back in the day when we had the cable boxes with the little slide thing, when they slid, you just slid the little button. We didn't have 500 channels.
You know, we didn't have cable, so I don't even want to.
You know what?
Yeah, we had cable. When I was coming up new, we only had like four basic channels when I was coming up. And I remember
exactly.
When we got a color television and also
we didn't get a color television until I was in my upper teens.
Mm-hmm.
We were looking at black and white with the hanger for the antenna.
Yep.
Look,
well,
we had the RCA in the cabinet with the little record player on one side and then the damn 8-track player on the other side. And then we had the 13 channel cable slide box. Like, that was all you was getting was 13 channels. I don't even know. Like, I got cable now and I got all these channels that come with it. And I just sit here like I say on HGTV, don't lie. But I'm looking at people like, what do you mean you need Star, Showtime, HBO, and all that? We didn't have that back in the day. But
well,
then
right,
we
were
a lot
coming
of things
up,
we,
when I was raising my children, I was doing it by myself. And I chose to give them a Catholic education after the public school just wasn't working for me because they need to go to school so I could go to work. And there was too much stuff going on for them before the learning started. My kids and I grew up with cable in my house. People used to talk because when my children came around them, they were glued to the TV like they were crazy. And people didn't understand that. That's because they didn't get to watch it at home.
Mm-hmm.
We were out. I don't drive. We were on CTA. So when we finished going to practices, picking up people, and I finished working one of my 3, 4, 5 jobs that I had the whole time they were younger,
mm-hmm.
they didn't know what it was to look at TV. So that to me, those are things that you do when you could. Now, when things got a little bit easier, like in the summertime, I didn't have to pay tuition. So I would get cable. But when that offer ran out, 9 times out of 10, I had to let it go because it was back to paying tuition again. Those things,
welcome to the hood.
My children knew that those things were pluses.
Yeah, only in the summertime. Only in the summertime.
Okay, what my children knew were pluses. Nowadays, children, that's their every day. Okay, so they think they come home and if this, that, or the other ain't there, they don't know how to act. Because this, no, they need to know those are privileges. Okay,
yeah.
Responsibility comes along with that. And I'm big on
but
that.
You have some of these parents that give these children things to occupy their time, you know, not as learning tools, but to keep them out of their hair. You know,
they buy them a television. The TV and those video games are babysitters.
Right, that's what they do. And then as soon as
they
take away, the kid gets mad and want to fight. You know, they want to fight their parents, curse them out, and, you know, be angry about it. When, you know, it's really nothing wrong with watching television, but it depends on what the children are watching, because children should not be able to watch everything that comes on television, because it's too much stuff that comes on television. Some of the stuff that comes on television gets on my nerve, and some of the things that come on television I don't even like to watch. You know, and when these children see these things of somebody killing somebody or somebody cursing somebody out, these things go in their mind, and you come into a room or something, they're going to curse you out, or they're going to have the thoughts of wanting to kill you. So television is, you know, it's good to a degree because they have a lot of learning channels on there, things that you can actually, you know, children can actually learn things from them. But when your child is watching the Bad Girls Club and, you know, all those reality, quote-unquote, shows, you know, those things are not good for kids to watch.
The babies better watch Steve Wilkos. They better watch Maury because I'm not going on Maury with none of the kids. Trying to tell them. I try to tell them all the time, like, look, you are not going on Maury. You ain't even going out the house in a minute. So, and
yeah,
I'm talking about my nieces and nephews.
Yeah, those
Jerry Springer,
not...
I don't care about Jerry. Jerry Springer is disgusting. I won't even put that on my house. But best believe they better watch Law & Order SVU and see about how all these kids get killed and raped and everything else. Watch this.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what happens when you step out in the streets and you do wrong. They all know. This is why I'm so adamant about certain things. Like, yo, you want to watch TV? Sit down. SVU running a marathon. They're like, what's SVU? Find out. And then they find out. I said, because best believe, I'm not trying to come to the morgue to identify you. I'm not trying to come bail you out. You better know what you're getting into before you get into it. And this is why I get so upset with these parents because, like, look, if your kids saw these type of shows instead of all these videos and what, oh, my God, South Park, yeah, that's cute. Carmen's cute for a minute in the beginning, but no.
Yeah, for adults.
Exactly.
The Simpsons, and all those shows,
none of them.
Those are for adults, but they have them on so children can watch them. And that little boy, Dewey, who is that little boy on the baby on? What show is that? Family Guy? That little boy is a trip. He was even
I've
on
never
there trying to kill his
Family
mother
Guy.
In a little cartoon. Right. I just, you know, be switching the channel sometimes and we'll see a little sketch of it or see a little preview of it. And that little boy is, that's terrible. You know, and then they have
I remember when Beavis and Butthead came out. My children used to, my two oldest boys used to sneak and
okay,
look at that when
really
I wasn't at the house.
Okay, now we really old. Beavis and Butthead,
okay.
We really old.
Okay. I'm just shy of 50, baby. Ain't no shame in my game. When they used to sneak and watch that when I was not at home, right? So this one particular day, they automatically do these little skits off of it and stuff, and they said something that I knew that little dark head, nasty mouth thing used to say or something like that, and I'm looking at him and I'm like, what y'all that from? And my oldest tried to lie to me, And I'm sitting there looking at him. And I told him, I said, since when y'all watch Beavis and Butthead? My youngest, the youngest of the two at the time, ass got big as saucers. We didn't watch the Beavis and Butthead. We didn't turn the channel to that. They had a channel on there that we just watched it. And I'm just sitting there and I'm looking at them. And I told them, I told them point blank, unless you're going to get into the TV and be raised by them, put it on in the TV again. You will not be allowed to go downstairs and look at TV. Oh, Mama, don't take that from us. Okay, then. Put it on the TV again. And I didn't have any issues after that. If they did watch it, and I'm sure they did, I bet you they didn't repeat any of that again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't let
it. Television has a big influence on children when they watch certain things. Even some of these cartoons are crazy, you know, all this blood. You know, in a cartoon, it's supposed to be funny. You know, and
because
I remember back in the day when Bugs Bunny and Donald Duck and, you know, cartoons like that.
Oh, my God, and Tweety and all them. They was
they got cartoons now where they killing each other. And, I mean, it's really crazy. And kids are actually sitting down watching this and getting all kind of ideas. And you come home and the dog is dead. You know?
Exactly.
So,
Do you know my ex-husband sent Maya for Christmas this past year for her birthday? She turned 11. He sent her the whole series of Resident Evil.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I'm like, what? Because his mother called me. She's like, you about to go to jail. I said, for what? She said, William sent Maya a Christmas present. I said, okay, well, he can't visit her. He's not allowed to visit her, but okay, he sent her some. What's up? She said, his mother said, Lisa, nah, you going to jail for life when I tell you. I said, what did he send her? He better have sent some money. She said, no, never that. I said, Mommy, what did he send her? She said, the whole edition of Resident Evil.
Wow.
I said, the video game? She said, yeah, with the books to learn how to play it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, and that's another thing. These video games, they had a game.
Yeah,
called,
look at Grand Theft Auto. I'm like,
yeah,
excuse me.
Yeah.
I sat back there and looked at this game. Now, I was hearing a lot about it. I looked at this game with my 17-year-old, my youngest was 17. And he was, I'm like, oh, my God. And he said, but this teach you eye and hand coordination, this, that, and the other. And I looked at him. I said, you know what? Little kids are going around here playing this game. And then people want to know why they accidentally shooting each other when them parents are not at home. Because they know where that gun is in that house. Now they playing Grand Theft Auto. Where you going? I'm like, oh, my God. That was gross to me. I don't get it.
They also had a game called, I don't know if there was a name, but it was about men raping women. And I think they had so much controversy over it until they had to take it off the market. But it was originated somewhere over in China.
Wow.
But, you know, what in the world is going on? What is going on? You know, these kids, they don't need stuff like that to see, you know, and to have those type of influences on their mind. They really don't, because their minds are so impressionable at those ages, and, you know, sometimes it's hard to separate fact from fiction, and they actually think these things are right because they see it on television.
Exactly.
You know.
Or they hear the music.
Right. Oh, my goodness, these rap songs.
Oh, they hear the music. I got to get my street cred. When I hear certain things, it's like, are you listening to yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Are you listening to yourself? I never forget when they used to talk all that mess about Ja Rule, and then all of a sudden they talking about Ja Rule didn't have any street cred and this, that. And I'm sitting there looking at them, and I'm like, are you all listening to yourself? Some of these rappers out here are philosophical. Why don't you listen to some of these that are actually saying something or
lending
some kind of, you know, guidance or something? I don't get it. And sometimes it seems like the dirtier and the grittier, the better.
Yeah.
You ain't never lied, because let me tell you something. I met Ja Rule. I closed his mortgage for his house in Jersey City. Yeah, That's how I met him. I also know Jaheim. I was at Penn Station when he did the video. I also know Jim Jones. I mean, I know Waka Flocka. I know all of them. But you know what? When it comes down to it, you don't see me promoting a whole lot. I mean, I'll promote Ja Rule because, yeah, he was deep in the game, but he kept it real. And that's the whole thing. People got to keep it real, 110. And the only rapper now that I really promote the hardest is Keys, my boy that died December 12th, RIP Keys, because he didn't come out with the cusses and nothing dirty or nothing. He just spoke the truth, and he kept it real in the hood. He spoke about life. And like he said in his one song, I'm going to die believing what I do. And he did. He really did, 23 years old. But that boy never cussed in any of his songs. He didn't come dirty with it like the rest of them. And everybody knows I love Lil Wayne. But when I met King Keys and I started promoting him, I didn't even know who Lil Wayne was after a while. Like, who?
Mm-hmm.
But and that's
yeah,
what
I just, they, I just don't get it.
Right, now that's something else. These little kids, they can sing all those rap songs. You ask them something about history.
Wait,
or ask them something about school. Huh? I don't know. But you ask them to sing one of them little nasty, dirty rap songs, they know every word. Every word. And that's the God's honest truth. You know, these
and we'll
kids
sit there
need
and,
to be...
And recite it the same exact way the singer does.
Yes.
Doing the same
yes,
hand
do.
Symbols,
exactly.
The gyrations,
yes,
doing
do.
The whole, the body stance, the whole gamut. They face twist up like them. And it's like, if you can learn your, I told this one, if you can learn your education, like you learn that song, you'd be something
yep.
to be scared of.
Get him,
yeah,
Maria, what?
That's the truth.
Get him, yo, for real.
That's the truth because you don't like,
people
it's
will
really,
stand up and take notice.
Right. It's really nothing wrong with kids if they can learn a song, but let it be a song where they are singing maybe about their ABCs or their numbers or something like that. Get all that out of the way. Don't let your daughter be shaking her little booty all over the place and leave with the babysitter. You come and get her and he done raped her. You know, you have to protect your children. You have to love them, care for them, shelter them. And, you know, take care of them because they are gifts. Our children are gifts to us.
Delish, they better go back to ABC 123 by Michael Jackson and Jackson 5. We're all
I had one incident. I came, I used to leave, basically when I was gone away from my children, it was usually on Saturdays. I would leave them at home with my family members, and I would, whether it was going to a sorority meeting, whether it was working, whatever I had to do that I didn't do with them. Because when it came to grocery shopping, laundromat, and all those things, my kids were with me because that's how they learned. You know,
right.
And eventually they started, this is for everybody. This ain't just my job. This is everybody's job. So that's, we would line up. They would laugh because my youngest would come into the laundromat with one of those little plastic push carts. And he had all the socks. That was his responsibility. That's what he had to do. He had to put the socks together. But everybody had to participate. But anyway, I left one Saturday, and I had forgot something at home. So I went to one meeting, and then I came back before I went to another. And I walked in, and they weren't expecting me. And they had those videos on. It was back during the time when Video Soul used to come on, whatever that station that was. I know Video Soul was one of them, but it was whatever it was. Doo-Doo Brown was on. I never forget, my daughter was 2.5, and she started doing a Doo-Doo Brown. And I walked in the door, and I saw her going down, and I looked around the room, and before I knew it, I was all over my husband and going at my brother because those were the two that was there. And they said, well, she just stopped doing it. We didn't, and I ain't never have a problem like that again. When my kids came downstairs, they would turn the channel.
I know that's right.
Because I'm like, no. And they thought it was cute because she was little. No, you don't. No, no, no. I never forget it. And I never had that issue with them again. They
well, no, I got one. I got one for you.
Back upstairs.
I got one for you. My daughter hates vacuuming. My 24-year-old hates vacuuming because every day after school, she had to vacuum in lines. in the living room. I got OCD like that. Like, when I come home from work, the house better be vacuumed. I better see the lines and the carpet, like, perfectly straight. Like, I go crazy. So she won't vacuum no more, though. Her boyfriend does. But to make a long story short, one day I came home early. She had just gotten home from school. And I walk in, and I smell weed.
Mm.
I don't smoke weed, but I know what it smells like.
Mm.
So I walked in there. I'm like smelling it. Now, the floor ain't vacuumed. Now, it's 3:15. She gets out at 2:45. So I look in the house. I'm like, what the hell is going on? So I went downstairs. Her room was downstairs. And I walked in, and her and her friends were smoking weed, thinking I wasn't coming home till 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't even want to know what I did that day. You don't even want to know. I'm going to jail. I'm going to jail. I'm going to jail. But for real, all those kids got told what? And all I did was I tiptoed down those steps. And I just stood there in the doorway, and she didn't know I was standing there. She's like, my mom's so cool. Yeah, she's great. She'll be home at 6 o'clock. We'll get the house cleaned up before she gets here. And I just stood there. And all of a sudden, somebody said, Tam. And Tammy said, what? She said, look. And Tammy looked. She said, oh, mommy's about to go to jail, and I'm about to go in the grave. She knew, because she knew. I called all those kids' parents, all those kids. No, write your parents something down. Sit down. Sit down. Because I'm not going to jail behind none of y'all.
Mm-hmm.
We don't play that shit.
Yep.
And that was back in the day when it was just weed. Imagine now. Heroin, crack.
Kids are so young on these drugs now. You got kids, 10, 11-year-old alcoholics, 10, 11-year-old drug addicts, you know. And that's sad. That is really sad. And once
but
these
they don't
kids
even have
there,
to be on it. They running it for their parents. That's the problem.
Some of those cases is true. And some of the cases they're doing it because it's peer pressure.
Yeah.
You know, but it's still a sad situation because I did drugs, but I never, not to say it was anything good about when I did it, but I didn't do drugs until I think I was like 23 when I first got high. You know, and all my other little friends, when we was coming up, they was like 16 and 17 years old when they were getting high. But I was 23 when I first smoked reefer. You know, and I've done every drug in the book except for meth. But, you know, not to say it's anything good about it because it's not. But I'm just saying, you know, these kids, 8, 9 years old, alcoholics or drug addicts, that's really, you know, a sad situation. Ladies, we have 2 minutes left in the show, and I want to put out there our next show on the 3rd of June. We're having Elizabeth Funderburk. She wrote Love Torn Asunder, and we're going to be discussing adulterous affairs.
Love me some Liz. I probably won't be on that show because I'm flying into Jersey the next day, so they have no party.
You can always listen to the archives, darling.
You already know I got this. I got this.
Right.
Liz know I got this. Y'all know Rhea, please. Come on now.
Because
Jabral want to know is, what time you touching down? Sit down.
Mm-hmm. What do you have any closing remarks, Rhea? Like, do you like to have any closing remarks?
No, I thank all those that will listen to the program, and maybe if each one of us, if we run across one, we can help, because there's a whole lot you can't help, no matter how hard you try. If you don't went to jail trying, reach out and touch one of them, especially if there's a child. See, I'm good about passing out books. Whatever I can do that's going to help, you know, because this, we live in a sad state, and change needs to come, and it needs to start one somewhere. So if it starts at one person, reaching out to one person, maybe it will start spreading.
Right. Lisa, do you have any closing remarks?
Yeah, first of all, don't let no man validate you. That's my first thing. And they'll know when they get grown about that one. And number two is each one keeps one. And if we save one, we got one and we did something.
Right. All right, then. I'd like to thank everybody who came out and listened tonight. Thanks, Rhea. Thanks, Lisa. And everybody have a good night. And
good night,
see you guys next week. Thank you, Rhea.
Night.
Thanks, Lisa. Good night.
Good night.
You please.